It's so good to see every one of us. Thank you for always heeding the call of God over your life, you know, over your family, over all the things that God has committed to you. And it's always a privilege as well to fellowship with one another and also to bring the word of the Lord to the people of God. You know, this morning, we don't have a lot of time, but we'll trust the Spirit of grace to steer our hearts, basically. But most importantly, to drive us to where He intends for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this morning, I want us to finish a thought that we started last week, Sunday, which was we understanding the component of the commonwealth that God has established in our midst, which speaks of the different graces that we enjoy or that we have access to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you have, you know, you've had a season in your life where because you didn't have access to either maybe a tool or a resource, you are not able to carry out some endeavors. For example, I think there's an echo coming when I move like this. For example, you know, if you are let's say if you're a university student or you're in the tertiary institution, there's some things you can dream of, but you might not be able to carry them out because you might not have the resources to do them, whether it's financial resources, whether it's intellectual resources. You know, imagine if a little kid maybe in primary school says, "I want to become a pilot." Now, you know, it's just, you won't take him serious as much as you won't say that he's not serious, you know. But you won't be looking forward to waking up the next morning to see him enrolling in the school of maybe aeronautics or trying to become a pilot. He doesn't have the resources. He doesn't have the enablement. He can't do it. You understand? Now, but if the child, maybe when he was trying to fill out his tertiary institution, and then he picked an aeronautic engineering school or a pilot school, aviation school, you might try to take him serious then, because at that point in time, he's meant to have that ability to make that choice. And then when he's in that school, it wouldn't be strange if it turns out to be a pilot. Because in that place, they make them pilots. So there's the grace to become a pilot when you are in the aviation school. And there's the grace to be able to repair. Now, aeroplane is not like your radio. You know the way some of us have confidence to, we spoiled all the appliances. I remember the first laptop I tried to repair, you know. I spoiled the laptop because, you know, I didn't know where all the screws were. You know, after you've removed the screws that physical eyes can see. And because I didn't go to technical school. So I didn't, and in technical school, I think they also teach you the patience of finding those screws. Somehow, when you meet those, they know how to find. So there was one particular screw, it was a Toshiba laptop. There was a particular screw in the middle under the keyboard. But I didn't see because I was just targeting the physical screws. After I was frustrated, I just said, "Pah." I said, "It has happened." It was my brother-in-law's laptop, and I told him that it's part of the bride price. So just, that was my first laptop that I tried repairing, and I spoiled the laptop. Now, I didn't have the wherewith, the knowledge, the skill. I had not gone to Computer Village to do apprenticeship before. I just felt BSc Computer Engineering meant, you know, meant that you can touch laptop. And then we're still probably in year two, where they've not even started teaching you anything related to computer engineering. We're all still doing general courses, and some part of it was electrical electronics. And so it wasn't a shocker to me that I spotted it, because I didn't have the power to get it done. And so there are things that we experience, or there are things that come into our lives that just gives you the ability to do some. At times it's a friend that the way he envisions businesses, you just also just feel, I think I can set up my business this way. And so we know that we get things done when things happen to us, or when we are part of a thing. So it's not out of place to really try to find out what happens to us when we are part of a body like this. You know, a lot of people don't really think that things happen. You know, because when you hear strange testimonies, which should not be strange, that was after I joined myself to this house, then I now started to. You know, people are like, ah, but you could have still done it. But you know, if you didn't go to aviation school, you would never venture into driving an aircraft or a plane or something, because you wouldn't have accessed the grace or even the knowledge to get it done. So we know we are not unwise to imagine what does this association that God has given to us, which is this local assembly, what does it bring to us? And so we've been talking a lot into the structure of the common salvation, which started from the conversation of fellowship. And we said the reason why our own fellowship is special, because it's with the Father and the Son, is that we have common salvation. We have a salvation that is accessible to all. You understand? But then we moved down to commonwealth, because we said one of the things that God does in our midst, after we've attended to all that we need to attend to, you know, we've given ourselves steadfastly to the things we need to heed to, then there's like a portal that God designates in our midst, which is the commonwealth. So that we fellowship together doesn't mean there will be that there will be lack in our midst. Because it says, as they continue steadfastly in the doctrines of the apostles, in breaking of bread, in prayer, none of them lacked anything. So it means as they were doing that, like we said, God was doing two things. God was giving power to the apostles to be able to declare the resurrection of Jesus. That was their own office. You know, that prayer in chapter 2 where Peter asked for boldness, that they might be able to declare. Because the experience they went through before he went to the cross was really injurious to the soul. See, at that point in time, your mind can be shaken. Because it was they were like this, and something went like this. So it could literally make them not have the kind of boldness they were having when Jesus was performing all the miracles. You know when they take your ringleader, like everything you believe would be challenged. You understand? And so that prayer was a very, very, very sincere and the right prayer to pray at that time. Because it wasn't even about they had received the Holy Ghost at that time, but they also still needed, because all that they knew before the Holy Ghost came were still true. Regardless of that experience, that three-day experience, all that it wasn't as though the Holy Spirit started a new, like, okay, Jesus has done his own, you know, and it ended, you know, it looked as though something was ending. Then, but Holy Ghost didn't come to start. No, it says it will guide you into all truth. So all those things I've been telling you, it will now come and it will continue it. You understand? And they didn't know that there will be an experience that would need an Holy Ghost to guide them into all truth. Because you could assume that we've been with Jesus, you know, we ate with him, we actually know everything he had told us. But he said he was going to send the comforter, because they also needed the comforter. Because that experience was gruesome. They needed somebody that would really tell them that it wasn't so. that what you saw is not what happened. And then he came as also as a teacher to guide them into all truth. But for the people that God brought together, Bible says great grace was given to them all. We can literally say that everybody, including the apostles, were enjoying grace. Because grace is, you know, grace to you is you being able to fulfill your assignment. You understand? So if the apostles are able to declare the word of the Lord, to declare the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with boldness, then they are fulfilling their calling and their assignment. If they left that and they go tend to the tables, or they go tend to any other thing that is not what they've been called to. And interestingly, you know, for them to, you know, when there was chaos before they appointed the deacons, it was very easy for, you know, when you don't want to do something and they give you another assignment that you think is easier to achieve. You know, if you're an achieving guy, you still want to go and do it. Because, you know, at least don't let me score zero. You know, so they could have easily said, okay, don't worry, we'll serve tables. Because in a way, the people that they were seeing would be pleased, even though God would not be pleased. And so they had enough grace sense to say that we would not leave the ministry of the word and prayer to go attend to tables. And then they appointed deacons. Those ones too were, they were gracious enough to know how to serve tables. Now, if those ones who said, no, let's join the apostles in the word and prayer, are you people that can now, that you need tables to be served, then they won't also get it right. So when he says great grace was given to all, it means in every assignment that God puts before everyone, they were able to fulfill it. Or they had the grace to fulfill it. And so when we're talking about commonwealth, just before last week, we said there's a huge component of grace in commonwealth. That you're a part of a local assembly that has common salvation. Don't forget, because there could be fellowship, but there might not be common salvation. Meaning people could gather together, but people don't have access to what they should have access to. There's exclusivity, meaning some people might have access to it while some people are just flowing. You understand? So whether the person joined them yesterday, you know, or whether the person had joined them at the upper room, they were all with one heart and one mind. That's the miracle of God. It's because everybody could access what was making one one. So what made you the person you are, I also have access to it, so I'm made. So it's not that we are now signs to one another that, hey, these ones, they were with Jesus, so like they are the happening guy, you know. No. They were rather signs to the unbelievers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so on Wednesday, the Wednesday service, I really understood the direction God took us. Because the subject, you know, when we looked at First Peter 2, we looked at Hebrews, don't go there. We looked at Hebrews, we now went to Malachi. You know, I was looking at the journey that that was the experience I was, honestly, for me personally, I shared a little with my wife. That was the experience. But later I found out that what God was having us understand was the idea of grace that is given to the individual. Now, don't forget what I said like last week Sunday. That what makes the commonwealth interesting is that you that are coming to it, you are also blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're blessed. You know, when it says, when we come together, they're expecting you to come with something. You've been blessed. And so understanding that when Jesus comes, he would come with Holy Ghost and with fire, and he would take the wheat out, then the chaff is going to not just separate them, it's going to burn them with the unquenchable fire. And then we looked at Malachi. You know, we said is like the refiner's fire and the launderer's soap. You know, just to give that, you know, spiritual knowledge that you too, you are worthy of the commonwealth. You know, I don't know how many of you have, I haven't really, because I don't really patronize things like maybe association, old school association, all those. But how many of you have been to any of your school association before? Like association meeting or maybe reunion. How many of you have old students association, I mean reunion particularly, like you've had to, wow, we don't have a lot of people. But you know that when you have a meeting like that, you know that some people will feel more worthy, while some people will feel more less worthy of that meeting. You know, some people you don't need to ask them how it's happening. It's the one that even sponsored you guys to come. So it's happening. It's in the news. And he would not do so much to say where he's working. You won't even need to ask him, where do you work? He's working. He's already working. You are seeing him in the airwaves. Like, did you hear we did this? Did you hear? He won't necessarily mention where he's working. But there's the other guy there that he will most likely have to be talking about his current project. Because he will have to mention where he's working, the state, where he's working. He will also try to connect. Do you know my manager? You know my manager, you know, is somebody that is also very important. Then he would also try to tell his department. This is the department he works. But the guy that is happening, he doesn't need any explanation. Yeah. But that's not the house of God. The house of God, and every child of God must know this. If you don't know this, you will not draw out from the commonwealth as much as you should. The places that there are no doors, you will create doors for yourself. You say, oh, I can't access this because I'm this. You know, the worst is even the tribalistic exclusion. That one is nonsense. It's a Yoruba church that maybe when an Igbo person now joins them, the person will not be able to draw out from the commonwealth. That one is very nonsense. That one is like nonsense. But there are a lot of dissonance in the soul that we can bring that can make everybody not partake of the commonwealth evenly. And so, on Wednesday, we were trying to look at, even we that we knew your past, we have to be humble enough to know that God has burned the chaff. Because he has washed you. You've had the grace to lay aside every malice, every envy, every deceit, every evil speaking. So you've had that grace. Because when he came to you, he brought the Holy Spirit and he brought fire to you. And then he used the winnowing fan to blow things that looked as though you had substance before. You know, one of the things that devil used to deal with, somebody that is not born again, but that is in the midst, that comes to church, is that you're just proud. That you just feel like you have something. But when it gets you convicted, and then you get born again, he also wants to tell you that you were actually nothing. So maybe you were 5 kg before then. After the whole experience, you'll find out that you are 0.5. Like the 4.5 that you thought you had was the chaff. And then he was able to reduce you to size. Yeah. You know, at times, for example, maybe a lady joins herself to a church. You'll just be feeling as though all the single brothers, the Cinderella's come. Do you get it? You just have, but by time God uses the winnowing fan to blow everything that is blowable, then you just find out that you're a virtuous woman. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we said that there are graces that we enjoy, and the first type of grace that we enjoy in this commonwealth is the enabling grace. The enabling grace is, I couldn't do X before, but now I can do it. I couldn't inspire myself that I would be able to do this before, but now I can do this. That's the enabling grace. And we looked at what Paul talked about, you know. He said, I've learned to what? To abound, to abase. But he now said, those different expressions. He now said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So one of the things we enjoy in common with, and don't forget, because I think, you know, there could be a question, you know, but I can enjoy all of these things without this fellowship. I could say that I have grace in my, but you won't have great grace. That's why he didn't say they each of them had grace. Yeah, each would have grace because a measure of grace is given to all. But great grace, that's abundant grace, meaning a grace that even supersedes your own assignment. Because he said, behold, and how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, the precious ointment and the dew of Hermon, those two things, is what they get in fellowship. Now, you might think, I can pray for it. I won't give you the answer. I will say, pray. Then you tell us what the answer is. So there's the enabling grace, where we have the grace to do the things that we couldn't do. This is what every one of us must even enjoy in our walk with God. For example, when the word comes to you, you have the grace to do the word. See, when you see a church where there's preaching, but people are not able to do the word, there's a problem. Because when the word is preached, the people will and should have the grace to be doers of the word. Meaning when you hear the word, in your, as much as your flesh will tell you that this is not for you, you know that there's the speakings of the Holy Ghost telling you that this is me and this is how I can make my life better to turn out to be this. And that's why we see lives changed, actually. You know, the one that was not upright before, when they told him or her, be upright, the person just assumed that, yes, I think I can be upright. Hallelujah. Amen. But we'll move away from there. But let's read Romans 14 before we move away from the enabling grace. Romans 14 from verse 1. Like I said, if you want to find out if you can receive the precious ointment and the dew of Hermon in your room, please let us know when it comes. Yes. Him that is weak. Okay, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. You connect this with one, that was offenses when we looked at the one that can eat everything. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Let us read verse 4 again. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, That one that is weak, it will be made to stand. Now, he's saying here that the one that thinks he's strong should not consider the one that is weak to be less fortunate. Because the God that made you stand, even though you had forgotten that you were once weak, let's even assume Igbagbe has done you. You know. The same God would also make that one that is weak to stand. And so the same grace that you've received, that's what God, the same grace you've received would also be extended, that made you stand, is extended to all. So there's no standing grace for some. And that's why when someone, you know, falls into a fault, they're not meant to find any way to justify it. Like, because the same God that has given grace to the one standing, and this is also a message to the weak, because the weak can also stay in a victimized place that, they are the ones in front. They are the ones doing X, Y, Z. And so, you know, we that were just church members, we can't tap much. Or you just say, I'm always in the security post. Maybe that's why the message has not entered me. You know, that's why when I start my own week, it's not as rosy as the people that are inside the building. No, he said he has the power to give the same grace to all. So what made the guy standing, God has the power to give him also the grace to stand. So that the things he's not able to do, he will be able to do them and he would no longer be weak. Hallelujah. Amen. I think maybe the last verse, scripture I want us to read is James 4:6, to look at the enabling grace. You know, when we say enabling grace, we're simply saying that bring your expectations. Get God's expectations. You will be able to do all. That's what we're saying. Enabling grace is there is no bound, there is no limit, there is no restriction, there is no, you can't be all that God wants you to be. And that's why, you know, like I said, divine leadership is simply where people are prospering. When you say divine leadership is somewhere, it means that the people that are rightly connected to that leadership stream, they must prosper. That's the only authenticity that it makes it divine. I'm not saying leadership elsewhere. I'm saying divine leadership. But he gives more. Can we start maybe from verse 1, if it would help us? Where do wars and fight come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss. See, there's a whole lot of principle that I want us to... So this in itself, first of all, is talking about, you know, you asking God, you know, or not asking God, and that's why you're not having, or you ask God and you're asking amiss, so you don't also receive. It says that you might spend it on your what? On your pleasures. But I also want us to convert this to... When they say that there's commonwealth somewhere, there's commonwealth here, but I want us to have an attitude from this verse 1 to 3. It's saying that if you see people prospering here, don't turn to envy. Because the reason you are yet to prosper is because you've not latched onto the commonwealth. Maybe it's his boss that just promoted him. That's why. Don't give an excuse for his prosperity. Rather, God, what is in this place that has made brother A to be looking like? Because you are also not sure. So don't assume that You know, there was a time I asked some of my friends, I said, do you really think I'm now fulfilling everything that God has? They said yes, because from their own perspective, like, if this one has happened, you are married, you are about to born, you know, they just feel like, I think they're happening. I said, you are the one using those things to do. I even feel like I've not started. And so you can see your brother, this guy told me last year that this is the project he wants to do, and by October he has executed it. You are still trying to even draft out your key results by October, meaning you have not even started the project. You are still saying, okay, where will I start this project from? Where will I do it by October? And you set a target for what? December. Both of you did the New Year resolution together that this year, you know, would. But you know where the guy is. You know he has most likely, he has even picked up another goal. Now, you will be doing yourself a disfavor if you are envying, if you are making excuses. And now I'm speaking also in the context of common salvation, like our fellowship. So if you don't lay claim, if you don't lay a right, now don't forget, we've dealt with any issue that would make you feel less worthy to come forward. So if you don't lay claim, if you don't say it is as much as this guy can assess it, it's common, I can also assess it, you will go without fulfilling all that you need to be if you're just in awe of those that are getting it. It says you lost and you do not have. You murder and covet. Now, this one is making excuses for the guy's prosperity. It's because he just got married. It's because, and you might be right, but nobody would be blessed by you preaching the excuses. It says you fight and war, yet you do not have. Now, this fight and war is, maybe you change the friend, like, this guy is not telling me the secrets. He's not telling, and both of you are in the same common fellowship. The guy is not telling me. Maybe he has been seeing Papi secretly. Papi has been giving him the sermon he's not sharing with us. No, let me go and join myself to another person. Maybe that one, you know, is very homey. Maybe he will tell me. He says you fight and you war, yet you've changed your network. Yeah, you've changed from this. So they've seen you. Yeah, you're also friends with this one. You've changed, but yet you still do not have, because you do not ask. You know, it would have been very easy. Say, Brother Jones, I know we are together in this thing. How are you positioning your eyes? How are you sitting down? How are you looking? He says, you do not have because you do not ask. How are you? Then I said, there are some people, they ask, but they also ask amiss. Now, I do. This one is bad. Because if you didn't ask, we'll know that your problem is that you've not asked. But when you now ask, now this is a fool. The one that asks and asks amiss. Now, when it says you ask and you ask amiss, it means there's a predefined direction in your soul. Now, when you say miss, meaning you miss the target, right? That means there's already direction in your soul. Like, I think this is what this guy has. So let me ask with that knowing in my heart so that he can tell me what exactly gave him that thing. That might not be it. It might just be the guy has just unlocked devotion. But you most likely will not believe it's devotion that has given him cash. You won't believe. So you'll be asking, you know, have they given you a promotion at work? Did you join the prayer that Adasa organized for, you know, workers that are looking for breakthrough? He'll be asking amiss. He says that you may spend it on your pleasures. Let's go to four. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's go to the next, we don't have a lot of time. The next type of grace that I evidently know that God has instituted in commonwealth. Now, when we also say commonwealth, it's the prosperity. Don't forget, I'm seeing some faces that I feel like, please go back to the message. The reason why commonwealth is you have access to it is because you are a citizen. It's first citizenship. And that's why if you've not found where they have your number, your file, your passport, all those things, you know, that makes you a citizen of that place, go quickly find one. And so the next type of grace that is enjoyed in commonwealth is the exceeding or excelling grace. Now, it's different from enabling grace. Enabling grace is you couldn't do before, but you are now able to do. Excelling grace is far above, more than enough, exceeding expectation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's rush now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, I want to be in a house and I'm doing more than enough. Like, my unpredictability is that when they give this guy A, he will get Z done. Like, that's my being unpredictable. You won't predict me that when they give me A, I'll do A. You know, it should be a gracious house that, let's imagine, maybe Papi prophesies you, and we all know that you will be more than that prophecy. Do you know that even in the imagination of people is, for the guy to even be the prophecy is trouble first. Like, for us to imagine him becoming the prophecy is one work. And that's what the grace that enables in there will make that prophecy work. But there's also another, because, and some of you might not know this, even in the heart of the prophet, there's an acknowledgement that to him who is able to do far above. The Bible says we know in part, we see in part. So even that you will be able to do what I said, you will be great. I only saw you will be great. But he also said greater works you will do. So that's far above you just being great. So even in the mind of the prophet is that this guy will not just do the prophecy. He will do more than the prophecy. May I like that life, oh? Because it's even a hurdle to actually even do the prophecy. Because there's a lot of work to do the prophecy. Now, to now do above the prophecy, there's an excelling grace that is needed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Ah, you didn't go there now. You were distracted by my greater works. From verse 8. God is good. And God is able to make all grace. Can we say all grace?
All grace.
Abound. You know, these are graces that you won't be afraid to tell the next brother was working. See, when you are here, stinginess and selfishness does not exist. You know the way we always hoard material in school then? I remember that when I was in diploma. It's as if we learned hoarding from our mother's womb. We're all hoarding. And we're smiling ourselves. Like, we know we are hoarding from ourselves. Like, both of us, we know that there's something I know that you don't know. We shall see in the exam hall. And me too, I also know he knows something I don't know. It's because we feel like if he tells me, no, we didn't have the understanding that everybody can shine. No, it wasn't baked into our We felt it's only one, when they say first position, it's only one person that can be there. Some of them were even shocked when they said two people can be in one position. They were not saying, who really? No. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance. I like the way they just spread plenty here. Like, you have grace to abound. You have all sufficiency. You have abundance for every good work. See, these are the type of people that can bless nations. So. This is not just a blessing for yourself and your family. This is a blessing that you know it never runs dry. Let's read on. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. You can see where it's going to. Is that your liberality will be possible. It's not that he will give you five because you need five. You won't get five done. You will most likely get 75. So that you're already thinking how, you're already thinking appropriation. See, when you receive a blessing, in quotes, that is only for you, you won't need to think of appropriation. They already need to swallow it that you have. You don't think appropriation. See, and that's the kind of blessing we should be praying for. A blessing that you will see like this. God, where is this money going to? I'm serious. I'm not saying the money that as is entering like this, auto debit off. Then the only money that's left is the recharge card for the month or subscription. No. I'm serious. I've received an alert before I pack. I said, God, where is this money going to go to? That's what I'm like. You know when you're driving and you all have to park and you'll be smiling. Even if the last man catch you there, they'll just be like, Oh, guy, Jawasi. You will literally sit down and say, God, I think this is not just for me. Mine is just five. 70 is five in how many multiples? It's a lot. So even if I think, it's beyond me. Is it so that I can think in liberality? This is how those that have a need can get to be in a position where they don't even see their need. It's because we've come to the excelling grace that sees ourselves even in the liberality stage. If that church didn't practice liberality, some people will starve. If you can ask, particularly if you are, what do they call, people that don't, introvert. In a church of 3,000 plus, you are introvert. Hunger. How many of you know that Maggi soup? Hunger. Yeah, imagine being in a church of 3,000 plus, and you are an introvert. You can see that the grace that was given to them, introverto, extroverto, it says none had any need because all their needs were met. It's because God gave them the grace that they didn't just have just enough for themselves. They had more than enough. And then God graced them with liberality as well. And this is the house God is building here. Where we, you know, we're not here just to amass wealth. No, we are here that as God blesses you, you know he's exceeding your expectation, then he's bringing his own expectation. And in commonwealth, his expectation is that no one will lack. Yes. It says, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Let's read on. We're going to 14. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints. Now you can see where it started from. Now see where it's really going to. Because you might think it was your need they were talking about. It says the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. The last verse that we want to read there. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because... So you can see, this is the guy that was at work. Because of the exceeding grace of God in you. I think it will be a thing of joy whenever we are commissioned to do something, and then we have it at the back of our mind that we have an exceeding grace to even do beyond that. See, what is said is what we need enabling grace for. But what was not said, that is beyond what was said, is what we need exceeding grace for. You can go home and read other scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1 to 9, and Ephesians, because I want to touch on the last one, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. The last one is I feel like time will not permit us to, because that's like the one that might take some discourse or some time for us to look into. But I'll say it, and wherever we stop, I'm sure God has done what he intends to do in our midst. The last one is the enduring grace. The enduring grace. Can we say endurance?
Endurance.
Yeah. You know, this is the grace that we enjoy in the commonwealth to be able to withstand adversity. To be able to withstand tough times. To be able to do even when it's impossible. Rough times. For example, you know, how do you think okay, let's read Hebrews 10. Like I said, we don't have time again, so I might not be able to do much exposition. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So when you can stay there. That's all. When he says that we should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, in this season, God is expecting that we can, or we would know that when he has promised to do something, he is faithful. Now, when we meet, you know, we don't necessarily need to be under the pressure to say what God has not done, to say he has done it. We don't need to be under pressure. Like, we both know that you prayed for this. And you don't even need to say, even though this is what I prayed for, or God did something else. Let's say, for example, you prayed for a job. And then, and God know, you know, God just gave me peace. Now, whether it's peace for the period when you need to get a job, what you prayed for is peace. And we both need to agree that he who promised is faith, you will get that job. Let me come again. You know, as a community, we've grown to deny. And if you want to walk in the miraculous, you must learn not to heed to denial. Now, denial is not faith. So, for example, if you have pain in your body and you're saying, God, heal me. It's not to deny the pain. No. It's to say, he who promised to heal me is faithful to heal me, and then you move on. That's faith. Faith is not there, but you know, you can move your arm. So when the person now says, you know, I'm your man, Paragon. When the person now says, can you move the hand now? You know, boys. Yeah, you can still say it's paining me. You can say the pain is still there. The person has sense to manage you. It's not, you know, I tell people be like, don't let me make the man of God feel sad though. You know, man say, you are healed. I already see the healing. you can say, sir. When they say check it, it's still there. Okay, it's not there, sir. It's not there. No. It's saying that you can see that process. There's a grace to stay true to God. That there's a small adversity. He said, I'm healed. I've not seen the healing. He said, I'm healed. I've not seen the healing. He said, I'm healed. I have the grace to journey through to the point where it gets fulfilled. So we will not be a group of people that tell ourselves lies. We don't whine ourselves. Imagine maybe in your glory home. You know, we usually say, does anybody have a prayer point? And just you want to make the people feel good. But you know, that's not what happened. So we're not under the pressure to tell false testimonies. What God did not do. Even if it's you that did it, say that I did it. Whatsoever God did in it, I don't know. Yeah, because we have to really know what we are drawing out from here. So he says, in the midst of adversity, I can hold fast the confession of my hope without wavering, because I know that he who promised is faithful. Can we go to 1 Peter 5:10? 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, so even the one that might be going through any, in quote, sufferings, is not without grace in that season. And that's why, whether someone is going through an adverse period or a tough time, the person has enough as the person that it is happening with. I mean, like, you have enough joy, you have enough peace, you have enough hope, you have enough possibility. So you have the grace to stay in that temporal moment. Because you know that in this place, oh, God gets things done. So whatsoever calendar they are using in heaven, that's not really, as long as I'm in the right place, then things will be done. It says, in my perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. The settlement, it will settle all that he has promised. I think the last scripture I want us to read is 2 Corinthians 12, from verse 7 to 10, and we'll wrap up there. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now this is a true believer. He didn't say, that thing I pray for, God has done it too. Then now starts living in the denial. He said, it's still there. I prayed 3 times. This stone is still there. And for,
for it to even be documented, the integrity of the word is amazing. Because you might have thought the scripture is a book of perfect people. They could have easily if believers in the new century, if they see this, let's quickly remove it all. No. Paul was gracious enough to know that this doesn't threaten his apostleship. This one meant, turn in the flesh, apostle. Shugbon. Like I said, whoever composed that song, I don't know. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. This is an adverse period. But he was so gracious not to talk about it alone, but to write about it, to even use it to preach to us. That's grace. That in that suffering, in that period that wasn't looking like it was the best, he had enough grace to put it down and to still see that people will read the spirit in it and be blessed. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, see, there's a lesson here. Now, we can theologically say that I would rather boast in my blessedness. So, for example, you say, don't look at what God has not done. Look at what God has done. Now, we can theologically say that. And it won't be that it's 100% incorrect. Paul could easily say, I would rather boast in what I have seen him do. Because he had boast in that as well. But when you have the grace to know that while you are down, you are not down. That's the enduring grace. He says, he would talk about it. See, brother, do you know I'm currently praying that God should deliver me from lust? I know he will deal with it. Like, he's not denying the infirmity. He says, I would rather tell this lust, you are a crazy guy. Your dad, God is coming for you. Yes. This is not it wasn't exalting his infirmity. No. But in that infirmity, he still had the boast of Jesus Christ. Yes. So in that place, he had some type of grace that was sufficient for him. It says that the power of Christ may rest upon him. So we wouldn't be together and then we'd be telling ourselves, Fabu, no, what God has not done. We does not exist. You would say, God did this. Yeah. You are free to say, I asked for this, but I'm yet to receive this. Because even at times, that's how we can maybe easily even spot, maybe you have missed it somewhere. Like, maybe, no. I think you have asked amiss. But when all that we say is, we ask for A, we got A, there's no learning. The one that is going through an adverse moment will not even have the confidence to talk. It's like in this place, it's Jehovah overdue. You know, they waste time. No. Our fellowship will not be practical. Apostle Paul established a thing here that it humbles every one of us that even in that adverse moment, we have enough grace to say that that thing doesn't define us. And so, friends, we would bring to conclusion the subject of commonwealth. I don't know where we'll go from here. But I want us to really know, and I want us to please pay attention to me for just 2 minutes. Don't do yourself a disservice by not proactively drawing from what God has instituted here. I mean, like in verbatim, you can say, God, whatever you have established here, I also have number. My number is this. I've joined myself here. And so, and that's why when they say all that works for this person, you work, that is a right prayer. It is, and that's if you know you are really joined to that person or to that thing. Because you are putting a right on it. That I also, they said is common. I have access to it. Whatsoever is not making me have access to it. Maybe it's my posture. Maybe it's the way I'm carrying myself. Maybe I feel like I don't need it. God, I need it. I need the grace to do life. It's here. People are doing life here. I need the grace to get things done. People are getting things done here. And so we would not just be at the back, envying, worrying, murdering. You can be like that for years, and you wouldn't have any type of grace to be all that God intends you to be. You won't have the enabling grace. You won't be able to set goals and achieve them. You won't be able to say, I'll get this done. You almost likely, you can't even dream of doing beyond what you've even thought. You know, when it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it. That one is the excelling grace. You doing the things that God thinks. We just want to do life and be okay. Like, because life in itself is even hard to do. So a lot of people are okay just doing normal. Like Tobias had to say, let's just do normal life. Like, I succeed, witches does not trap me, they don't catch me, they don't steal my glory. Like, that's where many are just trying to be enabled. Actually, most are trying to just be enabled. Because that's enough. You are successful. But we are saying here, you have grace to abound, grace in sufficiency, grace for every good work. We wouldn't leave what God has given to us untapped. We will know that every time when we know that we're a part of this God's project, we know that there's provisions for healing is there. Prosperity is there. See, there's one grace may I know is there, that your life will be okay. It's there. Your life will be okay. Like the life that was not okay before, that life will be okay. The head that was not correct before, that head will be correct. The person that thought that marriage is impossible, you will find possibility of marriage. The one that has been hurt will find healing. That's the commonwealth. That's the prosperity that God has given and established in our midst for to be assessed by all that has been named and numbered with that nation. When we say nation building, there's commonwealth. See, there's no nation. You don't need to be a part of a nation that does not have resources for you. Like, there's no allocation for anybody. There's no nation without... The reason why it's a nation is that its people have what it can, they would enjoy. That would say, this is why I'm a Nigerian. This is why I'm a this. This is why I'm a that. This is why I'm a part of GCCC. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you. We know that you want every one of us, even those that are joining us online, to be able to say that what God has done in our midst is now accessible to all. And this is not even gimmicks. This is not you positioning yourself in a deceptive way to gain. But we know that when brethren dwell together in unity, there is a precious ointment that flows from the head of Aaron to his bed and down to his skirt, that every part that is fitly joined together might be nourished. We also know that it's like the dew of Hermon that brings freshness, that brings the ability that every endeavor you are looking as though you didn't do anything from the last endeavor. Father, Lord, oh God, we are praying as a house that which you are establishing and that you have established already, let everybody see themselves in it. Amen. Father, give us the grace and the humility to know that you were right to place us here. Let us look left and we look right. And we are full of thanksgiving that the grace to do life and to do life exceedingly, and even in times when there are adversity, there are tough times, to be able to stand tall. Help us, oh God.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Thank you,
everlasting Father. Thank you for what we will start seeing from now on. Thank you for, even as you've spread our tentacles abroad, we are all connected to the commonwealth that has been established in this place. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, we do not take this for granted. We will not speak evil of this. We will not diminish this. We will not deprive ourselves of this.
Amen.
We will not cut ourselves out of this.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But the honor that is required to consistently have the conduit for that transfer, let it be in our heart.
Amen.
Let it be on our lips.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can we give a shout of praise to the Lord?